This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 53. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and joining me this week is our co-host, first off, Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com. What's up, Jimmy?
Nothing. How you guys doing? Glad to be here again for another exciting edition of the FitCast.
Isn't it? Isn't it always so exciting?
I love it.
Yeah. And also we got Keith Scott of KeithScottTraining.com. What's up, Keith?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
It's great to have you back, Keith. We missed
Thank
you last
you.
Week.
And yeah, I missed being here.
Last 2 weeks almost.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I poured a little out for Keith on my amino acid drink. I missed him.
Thanks, man.
Wow. Is that what you're drinking right now, Jimmy?
Yeah, I actually have it right in front of me right now. I have half and half Crystal Light lemonade and iced tea with 5 grams of creatine monohydrate and 10 grams of BCAAs. It's not as souped up as it was last week.
Wow.
That must taste fantastic.
Well, it does. The BCAAs are flavorless,
yeah.
And the creatine's flavorless, and every powder I put in kind of has a little gritty flavor, but, you know, you got to gotta let some things go.
That's true. Well, let's jump right into the FitCast topics. Tony Gentilcore isn't here. He is, we could make fun of him, but we'll just say that he's not here because he had prior commitments. It's not like at a... See, I don't want to put in any joke because I might offend him, but Tony's a good guy. Not here this week. Hopefully he'll be back next week, possibly if Jen Heath is back on. Maybe he'll come back for that. Who knows? Anyways, episode 52 came out with Craig Ballantyne on Thursday. It was a real short episode. We had some Q&A with Craig Ballantyne and just announcing a new promotion that he has going on at TurbulenceTraining.com. And... he's giving away a bunch of great stuff if you sign up for Turbulence Training right now. So give that a look. And he's also a sponsor. So if you go through our website, you'll be helping us out as well. Next up, the Medball Circuit video that I've been talking about for multiple weeks is now up at thefitcast.com. I was actually able to finally shoot that. And I'm going to warn you, my form was kind of rough towards the end because it was my fourth set. And I ended up getting my best time, but I can't really give myself that 1 minute 20 seconds because, again, the form wasn't perfect. And Eric made sure to point that out before I put it up because, that's me just being crappy at medball circuit. Are you going to say something, Jimmy?
No, not at all. I said you have bad form, damn you.
Yeah, I know, bad posture, bad form. Also... there's an insider interview up this week with Tony Gentilcore, actually. So maybe we'll get some Tony Gentilcore this week. It's titled Top 5 Personal Training Mistakes, just talking about how personal trainers can develop themselves better. And it's about 50% of our members at the FitCastInsider.com are actually trainers. Hopefully you guys will get something out of that. Also... starting this weekend, you'll probably be getting it tomorrow, Monday, or today, depending on when you listen to this, but we're going to have a new newsletter design, which is just going to give you a link, which is going to send you to thefitcast.com, where there will be an individual page for all the newsletters. It's going to make it a lot easier to backlog all the newsletters, because people who've been signing up lately are asking for previous newsletters, so I figure this is going to make it a little bit easier, and also... for people who can't accept HTML in their email, it'll be a lot easier for them just to look at the website. Lastly, or actually I have a couple more things, a little surprise things that I didn't tell the guys about, but our Cytofuse winner for this week is Kevin Shaw. So Kevin, if you would send me an email and just with your address and also your t-shirt size, I'm going to send you a free t-shirt along with that. So you want a nice little tub of Cytofuse. And also, I have to mention that I was talking to Carl Valley, and Blackstar Labs is going to send me a bunch of more Cytofuse, so we can probably actually extend this giveaway for another month after the end of this month. So we'll be giving out a crap ton of Cytofuse. So make sure to be checking the newsletter to enter in the contest, because you have to be a newsletter subscriber to enter. And lastly, something I want to quickly mention, it is news related, but it's really breaking news. That's how we do it here.
That's how we roll.
It is. And because it's a podcast, it's so relevant. But a California man has just shattered the world record for hot dog eating. He destroyed Kobayashi's record. He did 59 francs in 12 minutes, and he's 22-year-old Joe Chestnut of San Jose, California, and I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy that somebody dethroned the king of hot dogs.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
Well, I assume you have to practice for that, so it can't be a real healthy lifestyle.
No, I can't.
Well, that's not like a one-time thing.
Oh, well, yeah, you get to train for it a little bit. But one thing that I saw was very interesting. This must have been 2 years ago, but on ESPN, they showed the training for one of these guys. I don't know if it was Joe that was on it. He kind of looks like the same guy, but these guys actually train 4 days a week with like lifting and exercise to be in peak physical shape, so they can then eat all the hot dogs. And the guy, a picture of him in the news article, the guy looks like he's in decent shape. And if you look at Kobayashi, he's got some...
He's ripped.
Yeah, he's got some decent muscle on him. And he's just... I don't know, it might be like a freak of nature. I honestly probably couldn't eat like 12 hot dogs. I don't know about you guys, but that's a lot of meat in your stomach.
Yeah.
It's a lot for genetics right there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we're missing the boat. Maybe we're dieting too much, and we should just eat whatever we want. I don't know.
We could do like a first annual FitCast protein shake drink off. Maybe that would be the equivalent, but that would.
My money'd be on me. I'd whip all y'all.
Jimmy's winning right now with that stuff he's drinking. So
yeah, he's already preparing, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right now, but. That's going to wrap it up for the FitCast topic, so let's just jump right into the news. Keith is going to start it off with the news this week. Keith, what do you got?
Keith.
There you go. That I found a story on the news. I thought it was interesting. It's called "Good Vibrations: New Fitness Trend Risky." And I don't know if you watch the news or you stay in tune at all, that you probably have seen these vibration plates.
Oh, I almost went out and bought one.
Did you almost go out and buy one?
I almost did. They didn't have them at Best Buy though.
Oh, okay. They're called a power plate. I'll have to admit I don't know a whole lot about them other than what I read in the news and see. But supposedly they're supposed to cut your workout down by 2/3. You know, and another thing that's supposed to make you work out smarter, not harder, type of thing. They're reported to increase your muscle and strength gains, increase flexibility, and reverse osteoporosis. And I guess the whole point of them, these plates vibrate about 20 to 50 times a second in three different directions. I guess you stand on them and you perform a workout. And the big thing about the story is they were talking about whether it was dangerous, and some people were reporting injuries. So it was just kind of a quick article about the warnings of it, but I thought it would be interesting to bring it up and see what you guys thought about it. NASA is looking into these plates as a possible way to prevent atrophy when the astronauts are up in space. Obviously, they're in with no gravity, they lose a lot of muscle mass, a lot of bone density up there for long periods of time. So... I don't know. What do you guys think?
Jimmy?
You want to go first? It's funny. I was actually on one of these a year ago at the Building the Efficient Athlete seminar in New York City with Eric and by Eric Cressy and Mike Robertson. So I brought it in, like wheeled it in, one of the attendees. I was on it. I mean, I was only on it for like 30 seconds. I didn't feel anything. But also... A client of mine like a week ago mentioned it, and it's funny, like things come into play real quick. A client of mine mentioned it, and I looked a little deeper into it, but when you look at the research that's done, I think, by the power plate people, when you look deeper at it, it's all done at like the same same university, or the majority of the studies are done at the same university, if I'm not mistaken. So that kind of you have to take that with a grain of salt. And then Thursday, Brijesh Patel, who's the strength coach at Holy Cross, sent me out an email that actually had a link to an article on MSNBC. And it was actually talking about the risks that may be involved and the trauma that actually may be on your brain. And also you have to look at people like that have hip replacements or any kind of surgical issues that they have even recovered from a while ago, which really might not be the best thing for it. I think in the grand scheme of things, like anything else in the fitness industry, we tend to overreact and underreact. I don't think this is the new Pilates. Do I think it's a tool in the toolbox? Possibly. But at the same time, you have to look how cost-effective is it. You know, can every gym have it?
It costs like a couple thousand dollars, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know how effective it's going to be to somebody's training. Like, yes, it may have implications for the central nervous system to wake it up, to help it with recovery, however you may see fit. But I just think it's the hottest trend right now, and there's a lot of rich clubs. I mean, I'm in the Stanford, Connecticut, Greenwich, Connecticut area, so if something's a new trend, it's here first because a lot of the clubs want to be the newest thing. And there's some places that have it, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, make your client lift something heavier than they lifted last time, and I think it'll be better off than the power plate. That's just my take.
I really hope I never see these in gyms. I really think they... I see how it could definitely have a place in rehabilitation. I mean, so someone who, especially for people who are severely overweight, this might be a good starting point because a lot of the stuff that they're going to do on it is just body weight exercises, which are going to be pretty safe for them. But I don't see how much of a difference it can make just challenging your muscles by having it vibrate from side to side. I mean, is that really going to make that much of a difference in the scheme of things? I don't see how it's 2/3 times more effective from it just vibrating. I mean, you could do like lunges by putting your back foot on something like a physio ball. You're going to have an unstable surface, and it's not going to be that much more challenging. But this is just vibrating.
Well, now here's my question back to you, Kevin. You said you can see it being useful in rehab settings, and then you talked about overweight clients. I think when you look at traditional rehab settings like people with injuries, I think it could be a proprioceptive challenge, but do I think it'd be any more than a wobble board for someone with an ankle injury? Mm-hmm. No. Do I think it'd be more than you know, someone when you're trying to activate their serratus anterior, have them do serratus punches with a dumbbell and have a band wrapped around it, and then you're pulling the arm in different directions and you're trying to do some facilitation? I don't necessarily think so. I don't want to come off too old school and say, you know, if we did it yesterday, it's better than whatever we'll do tomorrow. But I think this is just too fancy of an equipment.
Yeah,
and I know
it's pointless, Jimmy. Because if you're spending $5,000 on this piece of equipment, you could buy some dumbbells. You know, right now, what do we have that's most effective for our fitness? Is mostly weight training. All right, resistance training.
Yeah.
And people are going out and spending money on this because, you know what, it looks easier than lifting weights. People are still intimidated at lifting weights, and this is less intimidating. It looks like all they have to do is, like, stand on it, and they're going to lose weight.
Here's my thing. And when you look at, like, the trend now in a lot of places, you don't see many just straight gyms anymore or just straight personal training places. You see personal training places with physical therapy, mm-hmm. with chiros,
yeah.
With blood labs. Places like that have a lot of money invested in it and have multiple revenue streams coming in are going to run out and buy these things. So that's just, I mean, people do have the money to go out and purchase them. I just think that there needs to be more concrete science out there about it. And there's, I mean, also the test of time and seeing, you know, does it work? You know, straight
well,
out of
I think Jimmy made a good point. I mean, I work at a place that's kind of does PT, does a little bit of everything. And you know, when I look at spending money, you know, the money, it's going to come like this: is this going to attract people to the gym? Is this such a new trend that people are going to say, "Oh, they have the vibration plate. I'm going to go work out there."
Mm-hmm.
And that's the business side of things. That's the way you look at it. I'm old school. I'll admit it. You know, as far as rehab goes, I don't know enough about the machine, but I will tell you this: I'd want to have total control over the vibration because I could see that causing a lot more pain and inflammation at some points of rehabilitation than it would do any good. So I don't know enough about it to comment on whether you can slow it down to a certain degree. But if you're slowing it down that much, is it really any different than a wobble board at that point? So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of mixed about it. I just think it's a trend. like a lot of things are out there, and there's probably about 10 different ways you could reach the same, or I'm not even going to say the same, about 10 different ways you can get better results than standing on a piece of equipment that vibrates. I'm sure it looks fun, and if they bring it to mind, I'll be thrilled, because that'll free up some equipment for me, because I know everybody's going to want to jump on that kind of thing, but I really don't see that, you know, standing the test of time, as Jimmy said. I don't know. The research isn't there yet, and I don't see it really getting to a point where they can, you know, I'll give you an example. Are you going to be able to squat on it? Are you going to be able to do things that we do traditionally to really build strength? And the answer is probably no. So for that case, we're never going to really have a true test of whether it's better than what we're doing currently.
Yeah, I mean, I think you also have to look at it. Could it get a glute med to fire more than it's currently doing if you're standing with vibration? Possibly, but is that going to be any more effective than a wobble board? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be any more effective than acupuncture to some nerves? I don't really know. And I, like he said, are we going to be able to do squats, beneficial squats for our clients, not, you know, really light or too under-stimulating squats on it? Are we going to be able to do that? I don't think so. I mean, I can't see it. I'm not trying to be old school. I'm not trying to limit myself, but I just think at the end of the day, it's going to be a fad. Like a lot of, like, the Pilates reformers machines that are out there. I mean, we have one at the sports medicine clinic that I work at. I mean, it's a $3,500 mistake. That's what it was. I mean, aside from doing some open chain hip, closed chain hip abduction and things like that, I don't really see it. I don't really see it being anything. I mean, could you use it with the overweight client, the under-motivated client, under-motivated housewife that wants to come in there and not do the sweaty, not get sweaty doing squats and whatnot? Could you put her on there and make her feel it more? Yes, but for $5,000, I'm not going to be using it.
No, not at all. But if it gets people to the gym and it gets people to maybe work out, then
exactly,
then maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, like I had a client randomly come and say to me, "Oh, well, a trainer in New Jersey who I know has it at his gym. You know, what do you think of it?" So the word is getting out around it. Mm-hmm. I had talked to a doctor not too long ago from either upstate New York or Toronto. I forget where he was from now. But he had talked about having this machine. This is over a year ago. And I went and looked at the science in it a year ago, and I saw it was all from, like, the same university. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Yep. Agree.
If anyone out there who listens to the show has access to one of these, I'd love for you to give it a shot, give it a try, and to email me, and we'll get you on the show to have you describe what it's all about and what benefits you think it might have. Hopefully someone out there has access to one of these at their gym, and they can give us an idea of what it's like. But
yeah, I think that's a good idea, Kevin. I would say as many people as possible shoot Kev out and email me, because everybody kind of trains differently. So I'd like to see people that are hurt using it. I'd like to see people that are training for, size and body fat loss, and I'd love to see that.
Well, I don't think anybody is going to be training for size and using this.
You never know. I mean, you also see people training for size doing concentration curls and one-arm dumbbell kickbacks. So,
yeah.
I mean,
hey, you know what? If the sun's out, you got to have the guns out. And,
that's
and
fine.
People are trying to
guns
do that.
Through, I mean, do a reverse curl. Do a hammer curl. Do something. Do a heavy chin-up. I don't know.
All right. Let's jump into the next story.
You're angry today.
No, I'm not. I'm having a lot of fun with the show today, but
no, you're angry. You're sitting in front of your computer. Your posture is messed up again.
It is. I'm leaning to the side. Damn it. All right.
You got a little lean going on?
Well, put your alarm on.
Hey, Tony says it's getting better and better every week. And the one thing is that I didn't talk about my training at Excel this week on the show, but my hips are tight as shit. And I'm having trouble loosening those up when I had problems deadlifting on Thursday just because they were so tight. And that's one thing I have to worry about. And I don't know where it's come from, because I have like a stand-up desk now. I rarely sit down. And
there's a lot of factors. I mean, if you change your footwear, it's going to affect it.
I'm a free man.
You're a free man, but still, I mean, do you wear frees all the time? Like, what if
all
you get dressed
time.
Up? How's your footwear there? I mean,
I don't wear dress shoes. Come on.
Okay.
Black Nike frees. That's all you need. Well, anyways, let's jump into the news story. It's titled "Caution: Some Soft Drinks May Seriously Harm Your Health," and this might cause some alarm for people, because I know a lot of people use soft drinks, and you know what, Jimmy, you might even need to check the Crystal Light bottle and see if the ingredient that they talk about is in there. But A new health scare erupted over soft drinks last night, which was about a week ago, amid evidence that may cause serious cell damage. Research from a British university suggests a common preservative found in drinks such as Fanta and Pepsi Max, which is in Europe, obviously, but we have Fanta over here and they have those horrible commercials, has the ability to switch off vital parts of your DNA, which, if you think about it, could cause quite a problem. The problem, more usually associated with aging and alcohol abuse, can eventually lead to cirrhosis of the liver, degenerative diseases such as Parkinson's, and also concerns center on the safety of E211, which is known as sodium benzoate, which is a pretty common preservative. I don't think it's just used in soft drinks, but maybe, like I said, Jim, it might also be in your Crystal Light.
I can definitely see it being in there.
Yeah, do you want to go run and get the container?
Certainly, buddy.
All right, go do it. This is live coverage. A preservative, which it's been used for decades, and I think this is the euro sign, so it's 74 billion euros global carbohydrated drinks industry right now. And sodium benzoate derives from benzoic acid. It occurs naturally in berries, but is used in large quantities to prevent mold in soft drinks, such as Sprite, Oasis, which we don't have in America, and Dr. Pepper, which is awesome. And it's also used in pickles and sauces, so it might also be in your ketchup or barbecue sauce. So, Jimmy, what do you got for us?
What do I have?
Sodium benzoate.
It actually does not have sodium benzoate in it, but what it does have, I know it had maltodextrin in it, but it does have aspartame in it. I don't know how I missed that, but...
of course it does, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't know the artificial sweetener used. I'm sorry. I mean, it does have... also has a couple of other good things in it, though, too. So it has phenylalanine in it, which is, I probably mispronounced that, but very good for GABA in the brain. So it has some good stuff in it, too.
Well, this is kind of off topic, but did I tell you guys that I tried the new Diet Coke Plus?
No.
No.
Yeah. It helped add 5 pounds to my bench. Yeah. That's a joke.
Yeah, I took it as a joke.
Okay. It tastes worse than Diet Coke. I'll say that. But now, either way, I'm not going to be drinking any soda anymore because I'm afraid. But let's jump into Jimmy, just so I don't call him Tony this week. Jimmy, what do you think?
What do I think? I think it's...
Are you
going to
drink more diet soda? Or this is soft drinks in general, too, not just diet drinks.
I haven't had a soda in, I don't even know. I would probably say over a year. Like, I haven't had an alcoholic beverage since New Year's Eve, so I'm kind of, like, the wrong person to ask about, like, the latest soft drinks. But I can see it. I mean, soft drinks just aren't really all that great for us. You know, I know people love them, and I love nothing more than, like, a cold Pepsi in the summer. But I just believe it. You know, they're putting a lot of bad stuff in our soft drinks. We don't know what's going on. And we're finding more and more every day what goes on in our body and our body's reaction to food. That's why I think a lot of cures for, like, diseases that are, you know, prevalent in society now are going to be found through nutrition. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a matter, and it goes back to the whole thing is, and this is, I'm not trying to get off topic with this, but you can see, like, when you change someone's diet and you test them for certain, you know, whether it be heavy metals or whatever, how their body changes. And it's the same thing this way when companies are putting things to make the sodas taste better, the soft drinks taste better. See how the person's reacting to it. Like, that's like, I was actually at a bar last night and I was talking to this girl. She was drinking Michelob Ultra. Okay. And she's like, yeah, Michelob Ultra, it's low carb. Well, great. You know, do you understand alcohol metabolism? Yeah. You know, I didn't say that to her because I'd get smacked in the face if I said it at a bar.
Yeah, but you're not going to pick up chicks that way.
Yeah, definitely not going to happen. But, like,
you know, you're going to get fat still. You probably
you have to look at it like people. It's popular media again. They're going to say this soft drink is good because it has one calorie or whatever it is. So I believe it, man. You know, soft drinks aren't good for you. Stay away from
them. How about you, Keith? What'd you think?
I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, I agree with Jimmy, but at the same time, I mean, you're going to have the camp that has been drinking 12 Cokes a day, like you reported last week, or 12 Diet Cokes a day, and for 15 years and never had one thing go wrong with them, or totally healthy, blood works fine, and it's just, I think everybody metabolizes things differently, and with that said, it doesn't mean that I'm a huge supporter of putting chemicals in your body, because I'm not, because I don't either, and I try to discourage people from it. But everything, I hate to sound cliche, but everything in moderation. If you have a Diet Coke here or there, it's not going to kill you. If you have Crystal Light or whatever it is, it's not going to kill you. Splenda, aspartame, those things. I'm sure if you drink enough of that stuff, and over time it can do some damage. But I'd like to see more studies on it, and at the same time, I think it should be discouraging to people to a degree to stay away from some of that stuff. But I don't think it should cause a mass hysteria or panic. I'm not a soda drinker, but every once in a while, I like carbonation. I'll crack open a Diet Coke, and it tastes good, and then I'm done with it. And then if I have one more than that, I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand the aftertaste and those things. Try to keep the chemicals to a minimum, and you know, most of your beverage should be water at that point. But it's like anything else. I think it'll cause a mass hysteria for some people, and they'll stop drinking it, and other people will go on with their lives and be perfectly healthy. You just have to find a balance and make sure you're doing the right stuff the majority of time, and everybody kind of knows what that is.
Yeah, I think Keith kind of hit the nail on the head there. Balance, that's the key word. I mean, people don't need crazy diets. It seems that everybody's like too extreme. Like, if people eat bad, they eat bad. Like, they're eating bread with every meal, and they're eating, you know, fried food all the time. You can still have fried food if you want, but have a balance. And I mean, be structured, be down the center, and you know, I think everybody would be better off that way.
Yeah, I mean, and not to get off topic, but you know, if I want to go out and have a horrible meal, and you know, that's all subjective to what you think is horrible. If I want to go out and have a horrible meal and eat like crap and drink a beer, you know what? I'm going to train my butt off the next day. And that's my balance. I mean, that's, I'm going to pay for it, but I'm going to go the next day, and I'm going to spend those carbs, and I'm going to utilize what I did the day before. My glycogen stores are going to be higher. So that's my balance, and that's how I find balance, and I won't do it again. You know, it's like, I know a lot of people that like to do, and I don't want to, this doesn't need to turn into a training discussion, but a lot of people like to do their high rep type of workout on Monday, because they know on the weekend they went crazy with the food and the carbs,
yeah,
and they're going to have a lot more energy to spend on Monday, and it's going to be utilized better. So, you know, how you find balance, I think, is key, and you're going to be a lot happier in life. And like Jimmy said, instead of going on these crazy diets.
Yeah, I think Keith is 100% right there.
I'm just going to add quickly that I think a lot of this revolves around the idea that you want to try to get, again, like the guys have been saying, as much natural food into as possible. And one thing that Craig Ballantyne told me way back was just, if you can, by all means, try to go organic. And the less chemicals in your food, the better. And that's all the way down from your chicken breast to your lettuce. And again, with your water. So
I believe that. I just think also it's hard to go organic. A, it's pricier.
Oh, no, I'm saying if you can.
I know.
It's like if a lot of the things, it's really not that much more expensive. Like for salad, it's like an extra 50 cents a bag.
Yeah, I mean, for some of that, I mean, like my, you know, every Friday night, what I'll do is I'll go and I'll get an organic chicken or organic brown rice and organic salsa wrap. And I have that every Friday at like a Mrs. Green's type Whole Foods type place. And I believe organic is 100% better. And I know Paul Check is a big, you know, eat organic guy. I think it matters in the long run, but at the same time, I think of other people, if people had their factors, like their exercise, like their proper supplementation, proper, you know, like multivitamins, taking antioxidants, like that would help. I understand organic stuff, and I think everybody should go towards it. But at the same time, for some people, it's impossible to do.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, if you can do it, do it. And I mean, I try to do it when I can. Or in the summer, I'll go to the farms. I live around a lot of farms where people grow stuff fresh. And I'll eat as much of that as possible. But I want to make another point, too, that, you know, if you're eating the way we're talking about, and, you know, you're having your drinks on the weekends, and you're having your high carbs on Sunday, and you're not reaching your goals, then by all means, you know, you need to change something. You know, just because it works for me, I mean, I know my body. I can go out and do that and feel okay. And I think too many people follow what they read on Men's Fitness or Men's Health, and they just assume that it's going to be okay for them. The best piece of advice I give to people out there is you have to find out what works for you. And if it, you know, just because a diet works for Jimmy doesn't mean it's going to work for Kevin. Or if a diet works for Kevin doesn't mean it's going to work for me. So if you're doing this stuff and you're out there and you have your drink on the weekend and you have your high carb meal and you still don't gain weight, well, great. You know, you have great genetics. You have a great training routine. But if it's not working for you and you're not reaching your goals, don't cry about it. You need to change something. And I think too many people get caught up copying other people instead of figuring out what works for them.
So, yeah. Jimmy, did you end up picking up the girl?
We're not going to go into that discussion.
No.
No, I did. I did, but I just didn't think it was appropriate for the show. But yes, I did.
Were you wearing the FitCast t-shirt? Was that what did it?
I sadly don't wear the FitCast to the bar. It was the same bar that you got kicked out of because you were too young.
Oh, really?
But I didn't have the FitCast t-shirt on. Do I think that would have gotten me multiple women at one time? Of course. But I didn't rock it out.
It works for both sexes as well, for women and men. So women out there, wear your FitCast t-shirts to the bar.
And you'll pick up women?
Whatever works, you know?
Okay, I got you.
Either or.
Gotta go with it.
Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, did you guys see Eric Kress's new t-shirts?
I did. I saw the design. I liked it.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. I got an email about that this morning. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that's not bad. Well, let's jump into the next story. Keith, you got it for us again.
Yeah, this is, if you stay along the lines in the fitness industry, I mean, this probably isn't anything earth-shattering, but I thought it was a cool study. Strength training reversed aging in muscle tissue, and basically what they did is a Canadian study showed that resistance training will actually reverse aging, at least in muscle tissue. And the quote in the beginning was, "With a little weight training, we managed to a certain extent to turn back the hands of time." The director of neuromuscular and neurometabolic clinic at McMaster University came out with resistance training reversed the effects of aging in skeletal muscles. So basically, I think this is cool. I really think it's cool information and a great start for research I could have, if you asked me that 2 years ago, I would have said, yeah, probably. I mean, I just think exercise and resistance training has so many good effects to it, and that's one of them. I mean, people are going to feel younger, they're going to look better, and I think, you know, this is just a step in the right direction to kind of figuring out why that happens. You know, they went in and studied the mitochondria and the DNA inside the muscle tissue and found out that it reversed itself. And if you look at guys that weight train into their later years, into their 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, they look good and they look younger for the most part. And not only do they feel good and live better lives, but they also look better too. So I just thought it was a very cool study. But, you know, what do you guys think about that as far as you know, the type of research and where it's going to take us? Why don't you go, Kevin?
I think this is great. The human body is so amazing at how it adapts to things. It is just truly, I think it's great to play around with. Not play around with human bodies, but to just see what they're capable of. Like, this is really cool. And again, like, if case study, if John Rambo wasn't on human growth hormone right now, we'd probably be saying the same thing. Because look at 64 years old, he's still able to look like that. And I think that's cool. I know that's kind of off topic. Did we talk about the Rambo trailer last week?
No, we didn't, but it looks amazing.
Keith, did you see that?
No, I haven't. I heard he was coming out with it, but I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Oh, it's really good. Well, it's not a trailer. It's footage for promotional benefits. It's like 2.5 minutes long, and it is so gory. Guys just getting ripped in half by bullets.
Cool.
It makes the opening scene in Saving Private Ryan look like... looks like The Simpsons or something. I wanted to say Barney. That's what I was thinking of. But it is, it looks nuts. And sorry, Jimmy, just keep going. I'll keep talking about Rambo.
I was just going to say real quick that I saw Pirates of the Caribbean and Shrek 3 last week, and I loved them both. I thought Shrek 3 could have been better, though. but that's just an aside. They both had the Transformers trailer to them. That's where I was going with this.
Oh, man, I want to see that. That looks awesome.
But you know what the problem with Transformers is? I don't think it's based in the cartoon. Like, yeah, they have Optimus Prime. And
oh, no. They have Starscream. Because the Transformers have lips, and they didn't in the comic book.
Yeah, they have cartoon. They did have lips.
No, not like, they didn't have lips. They just had
lips, they had mouths. They had mouths.
Yeah, they had mouths, but they didn't have lips at the openings of their mouths.
It's loosely based on the cartoon, and I just was disappointed when I found there was no Dinobots in it, because the Dinobots were, they were my boys.
Oh, but no, but see, to... that's different. That was the, that's the, you're thinking about, like, the 3D one that came out.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking about the one that's coming out this summer.
No, I'm talking about the Dinobots. You're talking about the Transformers show that was on TV.
No, I'm, that was, dude, Transformers started as a cartoon.
I understand that, but there was, not just Transformers the cartoon, but they had the dinosaur version where there was like an ape, there was a raptor.
Yeah, that to me is not Transformers.
Why is that not Transformers?
Because it was like an abomination. It was like when they made the
new G.I.
Joe.
No, it wasn't. It was really good. That was like four seasons long. No, all I'm saying is that I grew up like, that was in fifth grade when I was watching that, and I thought it was awesome because it was all 3D animation. It was like Toy Story, but it was Transformers, and it was awesome.
Okay, well, whatever. But and by the way, you can go on YouTube and you can find the Transformers cartoon movie, which was amazing. And it's like a cartoon movie for little kids, and like they're swearing and people are dying in it. It was crazy. But back to the topic at hand, I think that study was amazing that McMaster University did. And I think it's another positive. It's another check in the win category for resistance training. I mean, there's so many possible reasons why it happens. Like you look at, you know, the possible growth hormone connection, you know, whole books have been written about the growth hormone benefits to training. And I just think that's awesome to see that it reverses aging. You should look at what it does for, you know, serotonin and dopamine in the brain, you know, two important brain neurotransmitters that help with happiness with people when they resistance train, and obviously osteoporosis and body fat, you know.
Beast
all
Wars, that's what it was called,
Beast Wars. It was Beast Wars.
So, yeah, sorry, I was on Wikipedia while you were talking.
No, it's cool. Nice. Thanks. I'd like to see that you're not even listening to me in your own show. But anyway, I think it was good, you know, and I'm happy they came out with it, and it's another positive thing for the world of resistance training. But yeah, if they don't have the Dinobots, bro, it's not good. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Why? That was a totally different TV
because
show.
Because first of all, the Transformers were soft. The Optimus Prime was soft. They needed the Dinobots to come and kick ass and save the day a lot. They were so badass they had to put them in like a cave and close it. That's, well, I'm gonna say that. That's proof in the pudding.
Are, are you guys, are you guys on medication?
No, no, no. It's Transformers,
no,
man.
No, the way you guys can shift from a topic, you know, I mean, Jimmy, without even taking a breath, went from serotonin and dopamine to Transformers.
Very similarly related. They're very close together.
And he didn't even use a comma. I mean, it was like straight through. I thought it was...
You know what it is? I get very passionate about things, so I just...
No, that's... And I'm going to show my age here because that was way after I stopped watching cartoons. So, I mean, I heard of the Transformers, but I had no idea what you guys were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, more than meets the eye. I have a t-shirt with a sleeveless t-shirt with the logo on it that I work out in. But
robots in disguise, you know? But one thing I wanted to bring up quickly is this is somewhat fitness related because the guys were pretty big, but G.I. Joe, they're coming out with a new G.I. Joe movie. Are they putting it together?
Okay.
Are they? Is it going to be live action? Is it going to be cartoon? What's it going to be? Talk.
It's going to be full action.
Like, okay. Is it going to be live though?
Live action, not computer. And they're talking about getting like what's his face? They're talking about having The Rock in it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, The Rock looks like he's an in all of his movies he can pull off an army dude.
He can't play anybody. I mean, who's he going to play?
Well, it's not going to be like Duke. No, it's not going to be Duke.
He can't play Falcon. I mean, first of all, they're going to need to have Sergeant Slaughter in it. You cannot have a G.I. Joe movie without Sergeant Slaughter.
They can find a new Sergeant Slaughter. What about Michael Chiklis?
Dude.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty close.
First of all, I'm a big Shield fan. I'm a big Shield fan. Okay, I love the show, but he could not be in a G.I. Joe movie. That's all I gotta say. And also, I mean, the G.I. Joe cartoon movie when Sergeant Slaughter body slams Nemesis Enforcer was
Jimmy?
Oh, I can hear you.
Can you hear? I can't hear Jimmy.
I can't either. I think he just totally ran out of fuel.
Now he's coming back. I think
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
Okay. All I gotta say is that Sergeant Slaughter was the man, and you can't find a new one. I like Michael Chiklis, and he's gonna be the thing again in Fantastic Four, but not in G.I. Joe.
Oh, Fantastic Four kind of looks new. Jessica Alba's in that, and I don't know if anyone's hotter than Jessica Alba, except Jessica Biel, who's in Next, which I watched last night. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that, but... All right. Well, before we do jump into our roundtable discussion, which is going to be all about books and training material, we're going to quickly mention our sponsors. First off, TurbulenceTraining.com boosts muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And again, don't forget the sponsorship that Craig has going on there. If you need more information about that, head over to TurbulenceTraining.com. He's giving away a bunch of extras, a bunch of free stuff in that, so make sure to check that out. Also, Black Star Labs at blackstarlabs.com. Again, we've been giving away Cytofuse, and Cytofuse is great tasting stuff. You can get great results from it. And also, they have ice there, which I'm all about. I don't really particularly like the taste of it, but you're not really drinking it for the taste. And
hey, Kev.
Yes.
Just to steer off topic once again, they did you see who they're having play G.I. Joe?
No.
Marky Mark.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg. Really? I just read it.
I can see him being the Duke character. Yep.
So he's probably going to be G.I. Joe.
He was big for a while, and then he lost some muscle size. But
they're going to put Duke is going to be George Clooney. Flint is Ben Affleck. Scarlett. Well,
they're not going to get all these guys. That's
Natalie Portman. That's what it's saying. So anyway, back on topic. I just want
Natalie Portman needs another good movie. She just got destroyed from those crappy Star Wars movies. Let's just finish our sponsors first before we talk anymore. But also Mike Robertson at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Again, his bulletproof knee manual is out, and he's getting great response from it, great reviews. You can learn more about that at his website. Or, I mean, just look on T Nation. There's a huge discussion thread up there about that. And if you want to ask Mike any questions about that, I'm sure he'll be glad to answer them. And now I think it's about time we jump into our roundtable discussion, which, sadly, we're not going to have Tony Genelkor here because he had a good list of books. But we're going to be talking about books and training materials. I know it's all about learning in this industry, and all of us spend countless hours on learning and continuing education. But today we're going to focus solely on books. If you guys don't mind, I'll start it off, so just to make sure you don't steal any of my choices. And to be honest, I haven't gone into the books on hormones and such. Like, I don't know, Jimmy, are you going to talk about a book on hormones probably?
Actually, in my top three, I don't, but I can add one in for you.
See? But I'm not that in-depth yet. I'm still starting off. I'm still starting at the beginning, so I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I've read.
Well, Kevin, wait. Do you know how to make a hormone?
Is this a joke?
Yeah, it's a joke. Because you're the most controversial man in fitness.
No, I don't know how to make a hormone.
You don't pay her.
I know. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there, though. Well, let's talk about things that I have been reading, and I have been furthering my education with. First off, something that I've had for about a year, which is Alan Cosgrove's Program Design Bible. Again, I think it's a great piece of material, especially for me who is just getting into program design and figuring out what's worked for Alan in the past for hypertrophy and for fat loss. And if you've heard any of the shows that we've had Alan on, he's talked about, well, these are the results that I get. He tracks all the results from all of his clients. He knows what works and what doesn't, really. And he covered all the bases in that manual, so that's one of them. And also, something that I'm three-fourths of the way through right now, but I'm really enjoying, is Functional Training for Sports by Mike Boyle, which I'm sure you guys have both read. And
I have it.
Yeah, I've just had a stack of books that I've been trying to get through this summer, and that's one of the books where you can pick it up at Amazon for like $15. And if you want a great piece of training material, it's that. I mean, for $15, you're really not going to find anything better. Maybe something like New Rules of Lifting, but this Functional Training covers such a broad range of just not only program designing, but what works and what doesn't. And again, it's using a lot of things that Mike has seen over the last couple of years. I mean, he trains hundreds of clients, hundreds of athletes, and I think he talked about in the book that he has about 100 athletes per summer working out at his facility. He's able to put a lot of data together with that. And again, he really starts at the beginning, and he goes and works through it all. He starts really general. It goes through the whole 9 yards or 10 yards, however many yards you need for that first down. But I really enjoyed it, and Mike actually, I'm surprised, he actually puts some humor into his books, which is nice. It's hard sitting there in reading a book on hormones where there's no humor in it. I mean, it must be great. It's great to learn, but I'm one person that hates reading. It's one of the most boring things I could possibly do in life. I think it's like I'm not using my time effectively. But
I hated it too. And I mean, now I read probably 2 to 3, books every 7-8 days. So you learn to kind of get into it, I guess.
Well, I had some sessions where I read two and a half hours of the functional training for sports this week because I had a lot of downtime. And again, it's something that for me, it's not just reading, but I have these oversized post-it notes, which I take like a ton of notes on, and I put it on each page. So I take down like the top things about each page, and I leave it there. So if I want to go back, I can remember, oh, this is what I was thinking about when I was reading this, which really helps, and it might help a lot of people out there as well. But that's it for me. Let's jump to Keith.
I kind of, this is a tough topic for me because it's kind of like when somebody asks me my favorite movie. I have so many of them. It all depends on, if you say comedies or action, things like that. But it's the same thing in this field. Obviously, my background is more sports medicine, and I have some books that I'm going to talk about in the sports medicine side of things that have been incredible for me that I just loved and really, really helped. And if anybody out there is, trying to get into more of a corrective therapy type of background or even physical therapy or athletic training, some of these books are must-haves. The first one is called Physical Examination of the Spine and Extremities. It's by Hoppenfeld. It's just a great book. I read it years ago in college, and I use it all the time. It's always with me no matter where I'm working, and I refer to it constantly. It's just a great book. It breaks down different types of evaluations and different, and it gets into the structural anatomy and the different types of physiology of the extremities and the spine. Excellent book, and it'll be with me forever because it's really solid. The next one's called A Manual of Structural Kinesiology by Thompson. It's a real entry-level book. It's nothing complex. I mean, anybody can understand it, but it's another great book. It just kind of gets into the whole kinesiology of things. I mean, I guess the buzzword phrase out there right now is functional anatomy, and functional anatomy, kinesiology is something to me, and it's just a kinesiology book, and it's really good. It breaks down all the muscles, the anatomy, the origins, the insertions, the innervations, which if you're going to be in this field, you need to know that stuff. And that's just that's my take, and I think you guys feel the same way, but you need to know that stuff very like the back of your hand.
Could you repeat the name of that just one more time for the listeners and so I can put it in the show notes?
Yeah, it's called Manual of Structural Kinesiology, and it's by a man named Clem Thompson. And my book, I'm probably going to order a new one because, the pages are falling out, but it gives you great diagrams of all the muscles. It talks about the origins, the insertions, the actions, how to palpate, which is important if you're into any kind of corrective exercise or therapy type of field inside. And then in the back, it even talks about different, and believe me, these are basic, but it talks about different exercises and how, you can build strength in those muscles, just basic flexion, extension, those types of things. Again, entry-level book, nothing complex, but it's a great book out there that, if you're new to the field, it was one of my favorites when I was coming through the field in the beginning. I don't know. Jimmy, I apologize if I'm stealing one of your books here.
Can get this book for under $1 at Amazon.com, too.
Yeah, that's an excellent book right there. It's kind of one that you have to have.
Yeah, it's one of those type things. The Shirley Sarmaran book, I probably said her last name wrong, but Diagnosis and Treatment of Movement Impairment Syndromes, that is probably one of the best books I've read in a long time. It's also one of the hardest books I've read in a long time. About, you know, I don't want to come out and say boring, because it wasn't boring. It's very interesting, but it's very hard to read. It's not a book you're going to bring to the beach and sit there and read, although I've tried. It's just a real hard read. I mean, you really have to concentrate and you have to take notes, but it's a great book if you're trying to understand why you have pain anywhere in your body, the shoulder complex, the hip, and understand how to correct those things. And last is a book, it's probably not out yet. Well, no, I know for a fact it's not out yet. It's this is a training book. Jason Ferrugia, who's a good friend of mine, he sent me his a copy of his new and updated book that is yet to be named. But it's, when it comes out, you guys will know, it's one of the best training books on how to get strong and also how to get big and all of those things that I've ever read in my life. It's you know, no nonsense. He gets right to the point, but it covers everything. And I'm not just saying that because I'm friends with him. It is a really, really solid book. And when I got done reviewing it for him, I emailed him back and just said, that's one of the best books I've ever read. And it, you know, flat out. And when it does come out, I'll let you guys know about it. But it's just an incredible resource for anybody that's either training someone or training themselves.
We're gonna have to get Jason on the show to talk about it when it does come out.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Jimmy Smith, what do you got for us? Something on hormones? Let's hear it.
No, I'm gonna kind of try to keep it short and go into a little bit of everything with different books. First, I'm going to go into like the functional anatomy, kinesiology, some of those other books. Like Keith was saying, the Shirley Sharman text is kind of like the it book in the industry now. A lot of people are referencing, a lot of people are talking about it, and for good reason. I mean, it's a really good book. So that's kind of another thing that I think you have to add to it. I also think, though, that's not going to be the first corrective X book you're going to read. I don't think it's kind of like Super Training. I mean, obviously you can read that. You can't really read Super Training. But the thing is, like, I remember I was at a seminar, I think it was the Ryan Lee boot camp, and there was like two or three trainers that were talking about it and talking about how they were reading it and how they couldn't get through it and it took them forever to get through it. And these were people saying it was their first like functional anatomy book. It was their first, you know, book they were getting into. And A, it's going to confuse the hell out of you.
Because it does.
Like, there's terms that you're going to have to know when you're going to read it. I think it's a great book, but I think it's like, you get the manual structure of kinesiology, get, Kinetic Anatomy, get some of those books first. So the first, I'm going to talk about a couple quick treatment books. I'm currently reading Clinical Mastery in the Treatment of Myofascial Pain, and it's by Lucy White Ferguson, who I believe is a physical therapist out of Australia. She's a very smart woman. And it deals more with, like, it's actually a compilation. It deals with physical therapists. It deals with sleep patterns, nutrition, fitness, psychological issues, some things like that. So I think that's a really good book. And again, this is more of an advanced book. And another book I like that a lot of people probably haven't read is Functional Soft Tissue Examination and Treatment by Manual Methods by Warren Hammer, who's a chiropractor, actually, more or less where I'm from. And this, I mean, granted now, not everybody's going to get this book. If you're primarily, you know, if your shtick or your niche, whatever you want to call it, is working, you know, with functional anatomy or in those settings, this is a book you have to get into because it does talk about soft tissue examination. And I mean, I'm not doing any type of adjustments or whatnot, but that's in there. But it covers, it's excellent in terms of anatomy, excellent in terms of pain conditions. So those are two, I think, really good books for you know, just overall advanced functional anatomy type stuff. When you want to get into the training aspect, I'll leave the training for last. I'll go into hormones now. I think Tony had a book, and I'm trying to think of the name. Natural Hormonal Enhancement was a name by Rob Fagan, and that's kind of like the first book you're going to get into when you're going to get into hormonal
stuff. Did he talk about that last week at all?
No, he sent us an email that had his books on it, actually.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. And I mean, that's a really good book because that just goes into the whole cortisol, insulin relationships, and kind of things like that, which I think, again, is get your basic anatomy down and then get into it. Because that's another one that's going to give people some trouble. It's an easy read, but at the same time, there's a lot of I just finished reading The Younger You by Dr. Eric Braverman, who to me that's a good book because that deals with the neurotransmitters in the brain. So that's another counter hormonal aspect of it. let's get into the training, the top three training books. And again, like he said, it's very hard to list books in order. These are probably my three favorite books. I have the Super Train, and I have the Science and Practice by Zetsky Orsky. I have some of the Russian manuals and things like that. But first up is Christian Thibodeau's Theory and Application of Modern Strength and Power Methods. Like, this is a fantastic book. He goes into everything. There's a chapter on eccentric training, isometric training, concentric training, all deals with the science behind it. And then he goes into all different methods for each of those. Like, he'll have his eccentric methods, eccentric isometric methods, isometric concentric methods. That's fabulous. I can't say enough about this book. Again, this is kind of more of a reference book. You can read it, and it's very easy to read. I'm not saying it's not. Some of the science may be hard to understand for some people, I think this is a book that if you're serious about training, athletes, if you're serious about training anybody, you kind of need this book because it breaks all the methods down pretty easily. The second book I'm going to reference is Charles Poliquin's Modern Trends in Strength Training. I love this book, and it's a little more advanced because it goes into like all the different methods, but the trainer just, out of a certification can greatly benefit from it because Charles goes into a chapter about, reps and set schemes. I think it's a fantastic book, and I also recommend his Poliquin Principles. The last book is a book that kind of, I think this is my secret book that I knew no one was going to have because it's actually, no one actually really ever talks about this, and I got this book actually from Charles Poliquin. So I read something he wrote, and he mentioned it in it. The title is Fitness and Strength Training for All Sports, Theory, Methods, and Programs, and it's by Hartman and Tuneman, not Bill Hartman. And the title is going to be very deceiving, but the book was actually – it's translated from German, and the first German edition was published in the former East Germany. It kind of was like a Bible of East German coaches over there. Like, it was really big. And the name of it, I can't even pronounce the name – the German name translated to English is Modern Strength Training Mythology. So that kind of lets you know where it is. It has about five or six chapters that are just fantastic. Like, the first chapter is like the biomechanical basis of strength. This book deals with everything. And to me, it's one of the best books available. It's aimed at coaches and the athletes market. I mean, they go into the mythology of strength training, hypertrophy, loading parameters, sets, reps, tempos are all pretty described pretty well. They have the nutrition sections, which is nothing to write home about. And the speed development section is kind of nothing to write home about. But to me, I think this book's fantastic. And I actually got it on Amazon for like $12. Like, that's where I buy all my books now, on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I go and spend like $30 and get like six books, because yeah. I don't mind buying my books used. I don't care the condition they're in. Because to me, if the book is still in its binding and I can still make out the words, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. So those are my books.
Cool.
Hopefully by now everyone's waking up and
that's the second back time you said it about me, buddy. We're gonna have to brawl next time we see each other.
I don't know what it is, but you just have a very soothing voice.
Don't ever say that to me again. Don't.
All
after
right.
After that Transformers talk and then that, Kev, I'm getting a little bit worried about you guys.
Yeah, and then Kev just asked me to split a room with him at the Perform Better seminar. Now I'm getting real scared.
Yeah, you better get two twins.
That's what I said. That was my suggestion because it's like $10 more. But
first of all, don't try to put it on me like my suggestion was anything but that. You simply sent an email, see how much it was to get two beds. That's all you did, dude.
Yeah, because I don't want to sleep in a cot. I don't want to sleep on the floor. And if
that was my suggestion. My suggestion was to have you sleep on a cot, dude. But I mean, shit.
I already have postural issues. We don't need to mess with that anymore.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
All right. I think it's about time we wrap up this show. It's we had two shows this week, so I think we're going to wrap this one up. For all the links that we talked about in the show, for all the books, you check out thefitcast.com as always. Don't forget you can subscribe through iTunes, and you can check out the Fitcast Insider. We got over 20 interviews up there now, and it starts at $15 a month. $30 for 3 months, and you get to hear guys like Jimmy Smith put you to sleep about ankles. It's great stuff.
Dude, we're fighting next time I see you because you're hating on my ankle knowledge right there. You're hurting me, Kev. You're hurting me.
It's all good stuff, and I'm obviously just busting his chops.
I know. It's all love.
That's what I do. Again, we're going to get out of here. Don't forget to check out the show notes. Let's just wrap it up. I'm tired. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Keith Scott.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we're getting out of here. We're going to go do some, I don't know, let's go get on some vibration machines or something like that, because we obviously don't.
Well, you know, we talked about the title of that article was Good Vibrations, and we referenced Marky Mark, so I think it'd be appropriate if we had Good Vibrations leading us out.
Okay. Yeah,
sure. Well, I can beatbox to it if you don't have it.
No, don't worry. Right now it's playing in the background, and you don't even know it yet, because I'll get that. So everyone have some good vibrations. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Later.